We want to continue with this message. I'm anticipating great things this morning. To carry over even from prayer and worship and even last week, what God has, we've heard testimonies already of what God has spoken into people's lives. So we pray that if you were not here, you get the CD or you can listen to it online. But we're going to continue to move forward with the service this morning. If you weren't here, we're going to share a little bit about Paracletos, the Holy Spirit, our helper, our aid, our assistance. And we prayed for people last week in waves. We call the wave anointing of just the waves of the Spirit of God moving through the house of God. How many were here last week? How many God spoke into your lives last week? I encourage you, if you're not coming up for prayer, just believe God for the people that are here and to receive from the Word of God this morning and what God's doing. If you're not coming up and God has done a change in your life, maybe in one of these areas, believe for the people that are coming forward. Be a blessing. We're all part of the body, right? Without a neck, the head falls off. Without hands, we can't do much. Without the big toe, it's hard to walk. And so we're all part of the body of Christ. So if you can do something, be in agreement, ask the Lord to speak to you. You can receive through the anointing coming forth from the altar of God to receive whatever you need this morning. Maybe you need a healing in your body. If we don't cover that, God will heal you sitting in this room. Amen. So just receive this morning, and we're going to continue to move forward and just ask the Holy Spirit to continue to have his way as we always do here at Harvest Church. There's no agenda. There's just God's agenda. And I don't know about you, but I like coming to church and having a good time. I like coming to church and being surprised at what God's going to do this morning. I don't like coming to church leaving the same way I came in, feeling the same way I came in, dealing with the same things I was dealing with when I came in. I want to come into the house of God and be excited. When I go to a ball game, I want to leave excited, not disappointed. Most of the time that happens. The house of God is the same way. I want to come expecting to see what God's going to do in the service this morning. Amen. Have that same anticipation in your spirit. Let's just pray and believe God for the continued move of the Holy Spirit this morning. Father, we thank you. We come before you. We just ask you for your spirit to continue to move with such a sweet presence of the anointing and anticipation in this room today through praise, through worship, through glorifying your name, God, through prayer time, Father. We thank you just for your move this morning, Holy Spirit. Use me, let me be a mouthpiece and a vessel to speak the word of God over this congregation, over this local body, over this family of Harvest Church as we are all in one accord. Father, we thank you for those that are hearing this word, maybe through radio or television. Father, we thank you for those that may be sitting in this room that have never heard the uncompromised gospel of Jesus Christ, that it would be alive and it would be well in them, God, that it would just fill their hearts with anticipation and hope, God, that it would fill their hearts with strength, God, that we thank you that hearts be mended, broken hearts, Father. We thank you that minds are made whole. We thank you that our courses of direction in life are changed miraculously and set straight, Father, that on the path that you have for the people of God this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this opportunity and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Father, in your name. Amen. So let's just read a couple verses quickly again. John 14, just to talk a little bit. The Holy Spirit, the word for Holy Spirit that John uses is Paracletos. And Paracletos means many things. And I had said last week that the Lord had put on my spirit to kind of go over these next few times that I speak. And so the first one we were starting with, the helper, is one thing Paracletos means. And the next thing is a comforter. He's our standby. He's our advocate. It means intercessor or teacher. It means friend or guide or counselor. It means strengthener. It means leader. It means partner. The greatest asset, I'm going to say this over and over again until it just becomes part of your vocabulary. The greatest asset that Jesus left us after he gave his life was the Holy Spirit. Jesus walked this earth as a man. He could only be in one place at one time, and he was amazing while he was here, but that wasn't all that he had. And he knew that to fulfill his Father's plan, he needed to give his life and leave the Holy Spirit here who dwells inside each and every one of us as a person, as a friend, as a guide, as a counselor. Have you ever had to go to court and you don't bring your lawyer, but you say you have one? What good is that? That's not the kind of advocate I want. Oh, I'll be at court with you, and they don't show up? Fire them. The Holy Spirit is an advocate for you that goes with you and helps you. And so it's the greatest asset we have in the body of Christ. We need to start using it. We need to start applying it. We need to start building a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's not a feeling. It's not goosebumps. It's not speaking in tongues. It's a personal relationship. It's what guides us and leads us and gives us wisdom and insight. And so it's an asset we need to use. You know, we all have assets in the natural. We could have a house and have some equity built up in it to get some more money or to do certain things or look at our liquidity or our net worth. There's assets that we utilize. We don't take our money and bury it in the backyard and then don't eat for 2 weeks. That's ridiculous. But in the spirit realm, we take the Holy Spirit, we package them up and put them in a box and never talk to them, never ask them, never listen to them. But we know we have him in the background. We know he's there, but we're not utilizing it. So utilize your relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you come to Harvest Church, you're going to hear this a lot. You know, the last three chapters of the book of John is all about the Holy Spirit. There might be a point that the Lord wants to get across about how important the Holy Spirit is. And so Parakletos, our helper, our aid, our guide. Last week we talked about a few things, but I want to share the scripture verses first just to do a little background quick. So John 14, 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." That's that word Parakletos, "that he may abide with you forever." Not sometimes, forever. He's here to stay, and he wants to be a part of your life forever. 26 of 14. "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send," now he's already here, but this was Jesus talking. He's coming. His disciples were in panic mode at this point. "What are we going to do without you?" But Jesus said, "The Father will send him in my name. He will teach you things and bring to remembrance all things that I say to you." That's one of the greatest things the Holy Spirit does, is brings remembrance of the Word of God back up into your spirit. One thing he does for me is he reminds me of what he's done for me. When doubt starts to creep in, or, "Oh no, here we go again," or, "Oh, well, wait a minute, I took care of you last time, I'm going to take care of you again." And remember what the Word of God says. That's what the Holy Spirit does. 15:26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I'll send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify me." So truth comes alive in us. We live in a world full of not so much truth. A lot of false things, a lot of lies, a lot of sugar-coated things. I mean, you can take the Word of God, church, and spin it any way you want, really. And the world isn't following the Word of God, so they're spinning a bunch of nonsense and keep spinning it even worse. So we have to know what the Word of God said is the truth of God's Word. We don't just believe parts of it because it fits into our lifestyle. Situation, ethics, living, that's not how we are supposed to live according to the Word of God. We're supposed to take the entire Word of God and apply it to our lives. And the Holy Spirit gives us that truth to do that. John 16:8. "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." So the Holy Spirit will bring us some conviction and say, "Hey, stop doing that. Stop acting that way. Stop talking like that." That's the part of the Holy Spirit a lot of us don't want to. We want to leave that verse out. We don't like to be told what to do or when we're doing something we enjoy to do and we know it's not right. We don't want to hear the Holy Spirit tapping on our shoulder and saying, "Stop doing that. Stop watching that. Stop talking that way. Stop treating people that way." 13 through 15, the same chapter, 16. "However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he'll guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." This is the greatest thing. When the Holy Spirit's telling you to do something, he's not making it up. He's not saying, "Okay, on Monday, is tomorrow the 7th? Monday, October 7th, God, I'm going to go out on my own and tell people what I think they should do today." That's not how the Holy Spirit works. It's the Trinity. They're all one. They all talk to each other. They all communicate from God the Father. So it says here, he will not speak on his own authority. So if the Holy Spirit's telling you to do something, the big man wants it done. That's the long and the short of it. You know, when you hear your boss, or who happens to be my dad and my friend, tells you to do something, you might not always want to do what he tells you to do, but if he's telling you to do it, there's authority behind it. He's the leader. He's the pastor. He's the father figure. The Holy Spirit's the same way. He's not telling you to do stuff and making it up on his own. You know, how can I screw up Alan's day today? Let me think. Let me have him do. That's not what he's doing. That's what the devil's doing. And sometimes we listen to him far easier than we listen to the Holy Spirit, because the devil's telling us to do things that maybe our flesh wants to do. And we need to put that down on a daily basis, amen? So we talked about a few things last week. We prayed about a few things, and I want to just finish them up, and then there's a second part to that, and hopefully we'll get to it today. But helper here to aid and to assist. And I had mentioned last week that there's two areas that the church needs the most help, aid, and assistance in from the Holy Spirit, and it's against fear. Okay, it's against fear. And what is the acronym for fear? We all know it. I said it last week now. Right. And fear is real. Fear is something that can grip a hold of you and almost like paralyze you. And not always in the natural, but spiritually paralyze you from really listening to the Holy Spirit because you, oh, I've been down this road before. Oh, this is what's going to happen. Or we talked about it last week. We prayed about, you know, family and generational issues. Oh, my dad had heart disease or my mom had breast cancer or diabetes and all that stuff. That's not your heritage. Your heritage is from God. Your father is Abraham and Sarah is your mother and you come from the lineage of Jesus. So even though those things could be real, and I said it last week to encourage you, sometimes you have to live and eat right and be healthy, not just say, oh, God's going to take care of it and drink a Slurpee every day and a hot dog three times a day. We got to be smart about how we live, how we take care of our body, but we don't have to fear it. And we don't have to worry about it because it's false evidence. It appears real. Symptoms feel real. But we are more than overcomers. And that fear doesn't have to come against us. And so the help of the Holy Spirit, the aid and assistance of the Holy Spirit is here to battle against this fear. And last week we talked about fear of failure. I had prayed for a young man and they had told me that everything that we prayed was exactly what that young man was going through that week. And it was like, did you tell him? How did he know? He said everything. No, that's the Holy Spirit. That was what was really going on in that person's life. And I'm sure there was others. The other one was fear of the future. I mean, if you turn on the news, that's enough to make you fearful of the future. But my Bible tells me that the righteous are not going to beg for bread. That the righteous are not going to be forsaken. That the righteous are never going to feel God's wrath in any way. In Thessalonians, it says the people of God will never experience God's wrath. Now, man can do crazy things and evil things, that's fine, but that is nothing compared to when God unleashes his wrath on this place, on this earth. Look no further than Sodom and Gomorrah. Look no further than what he did in the flood, what he did to the Egyptians. Look, God is not a God of the mocked. He'll take care of those evildoers, but what he's doing is giving everybody enough time to make a change. As evil as the world is, people need to know Christ. And if you wonder why is this happening, because Christ, God wants to give everybody ample opportunity. There's still people, Jesse will tell you, that have never heard the gospel. If you can believe that, we live in a sheltered world. We're spoiled. We can get the gospel with one click. You know, we hear, but there's parts of the world, there's people never, they're under bondage, never heard the gospel. That's why the Lord is holding on as long as he can. But there is a day of reckoning. There is a day of wrath. We are not going to experience, the Bible says, thank God. So we don't have to fear what man is saying is going to happen. But the world lives in fear. They're running to the mountains and stocking, piling food and all this stuff. Look, tithe, give, serve God, be smart with your finances, with your life, and God will take care of you. You don't have to fear that. So this fear of the future is swirling around. And the church should be the ones that are rising up and showing the world, look, you have nothing to fear. Ask Christ into your heart. Ask Jesus into your life. Serve him. You've served man. You've served material things. You've served relationships. You've tried to do all these crazy things and nothing satisfies you. Why don't you try God? But we as the church have to make sure we're showing the right example because there's probably people that will say, oh, I knew a Christian and they acted this way. Oh, I knew a Christian or an evangelist and he did this and he did that. We have to be careful that we're living a life worthy of the gospel. Say, hey, look, that's true. Didn't say all Christians are perfect. That's like saying, you know, all police officers are perfect or every contractor has never stolen a dime or did everything he said he was going to do. Pastor tells a story about when they tried to lay the blacktop and jip him 2 inches and he said, what are you doing? That's not what I paid for. So there's people out there that have a bad rep and it gives the good people a bad reputation. Oh, a Christian did this to me. So show them this is not how a Christian's supposed to act. I'm going to love you to death. I'm going to forgive you when I don't really want to, or I'm justified not to according to my own mind, but I'm going to forgive you. So go out of your way to show the world that, look, Christ is the answer. Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. Amen? So future, you shouldn't have to fear that. And the last one we talked about last week was fear of sickness, family and generational issues, generational curses. We talked about that a little bit. You know, sometimes that rears up in our mind that we may see things that have happened in our family history and our heritage. But again, that's not part of our heritage. And sickness and disease, you could be dealing with any kind of symptoms right now. That's a fear that can grip you. And that fear can turn and make your body not function correctly. Stress and anxiety and worry releases toxins in your brain. And it's not a healthy thing. That's what the enemy's after. See, what you have to understand is there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that maybe drinking and drugs and gossiping and, you know, the stuff that a lot of people struggle with, it doesn't really affect them. I don't have an urge to go get drunk at any time in my life. I can walk through a bar, anything like that, or drink. I've never drank, I never will, it does nothing for me. But fear is real to me. So the enemy uses, okay, look, I know I'm not going to get Paulie with that, I know I'm not going to get him with this, but you know what, I'm going to attack his mind. I'm going to have fear come against them. So the enemy's not just going to say, oh, they're too strong for me. I can never get them anyway. That's not how he works. He comes after us with fear. He gives us symptoms. We feel a twinge. Oh, no, I'm 50 now. You know, my eyes are getting, I better say, no, I can see clearly. My eyes are never going to dim. No, I'm not taking arthritis. I'm not taking the aches and pains. I'm not taking the levels going out of order. My number is 1 Peter 2:24. By the stripes of Jesus, I am already healed. Send the devil running. Send him scurrying back where he came from. So that fear is real when we feel those things. And it happens to us, but we have to stand up and resist. Amen? So this morning, I want to cover the final three things in this part about fear. So the first one is, and again, what we're doing here, as my lovely assistant comes back out, I'm sure she's back there. She did an awesome job at the women's event. It was amazing. And the ladies had a great time. Jasmine's just going to play quietly. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about these next three things. And then I'm going to ask you, if you're dealing or battling in this area, I'm going to have you come forward. And we're going to lay hands. Nikki and I are going to lay hands on you. And we're going to pray against these issues in your life. So if you're here last week, the same kind of thing. It's like these waves that the Lord is dealing with situations. And you can, don't let the enemy shame you and saying, I already went up once, or what are people going to think? That's a bunch of nonsense. We want to see people come into the house of God. Nothing more exciting than seeing your fellow church member change and transform and seeing God do a mighty work in their lives. But the enemy tries to say, oh, you don't need it, or oh, what are people going to think? Doesn't matter. What does God think? What is God doing for you? Amen? So we'll have an altar call for each one of these. And if you feel like that God's dealing with this area, I want you to be allowed this presence of God to speak to you. Amen? So the next one is fear of what people say. Hebrews 13:6. We know we're not supposed to confess bad things, but that never stops the world from confessing bad things. And it never stops the world about confessing bad things to us and about us. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. And words can do things. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, and names can never hurt me. Not true. Not true at all. And this is a twofold issue here. It's what man says he will do to you and what man says will happen to you. So it's like a double-edged thing that, you know, maybe your boss or a coworker or a family member says what they're going to do to you, how they're going to treat you, cut you out of the will, be mean to you, treat you this way, you know, get back at you on the job, what your neighbors might do, all kinds of stuff like that. And also about what they say will happen to you. I mean, you're never going to succeed. You're always going to fail. You're going to be just like this person, just like that person. Oh, see what's going on in your family? That's just going to continue to happen. So words are very powerful, but this says the Lord is our helper. Do not fear. What can man do to you? What can man say to you? He can say nothing to you. Psalms 118:7. I'm going to read this out of a different version than I have here. I forgot to write it down, but it says, the Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. And the world hates nothing then when you look back at them with a smile and with grace and joy, when they are badgering you up and down and saying bad things to you, and you just smile, say, I'm triumphing over you right now because the Lord is my helper. He's on my side. It doesn't matter what man can say or do to me. The Lord is my helper. He's on my side. And so words are powerful. What has been said to you, what has been said about you, what has been said in private about you, or what's going to happen to you. You know, sometimes those are even more damaging than someone saying it to your face, is telling someone else and saying something, maybe a rumor, or saying things behind your back to get your job or your position, or to undermine you, or to get closer to somebody in church, or get closer to the pastor and try to undermine what's going on. Words are powerful. So as you realize this may pertain to you, fear is coming against you by words spoken at you or spoken about you, or what's going to happen to you. I want you to just come forward. I would like you just, if you can, just stand on the carpet up here on either side. Ask the Holy Spirit right now, is this me? Is this fear been created in my life? It could be the root of something that you didn't even realize until we're talking about it right now. But this fear of what people are saying, and sometimes it's an anticipation of, I know what that person's going to say. You know, sometimes it doesn't even have to come out of their mouth, but they know, oh, I think they're thinking it. Are they going to say that about me? Are they going to undermine what's going on in my life? So if that's you, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit if you need to come up to receive against this fear, and ask the Holy Spirit to aid and assist you. We're just going to give you a moment. Ask Him. Don't miss this, church. And if you want to bring your Bibles up, I forgot to say that, we're going to quote Psalms 118:7 over you. So bring your Bible. If you don't, I'll have a Bible with me. I forgot to say that, sorry. We're going to use the Word. The Word mixed with the Holy Spirit is a combination that's dynamite. It will break down every obstinate thing in your life and every stronghold. Just ask Him, is that me? Do I think that way? Do I have fear in that area?
Storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, sin. Call the sea to sin. Call the fear to sin. Every way. At your name, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear. Is alive.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. No more fear what people say to us or about us. The next one, fear of what our mind, our own mind, is telling us. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. I said it before, our mind is a strong, strong organ. You know, our mind tells our other organs to do crazy things. Our mind can put us in spirals going down. Our mind can set us in places we don't want to go. And we have to allow the mind to stop running away with ideas that cause doubt for God's plan in our lives. His plans are what Jeremiah 29:11 says, plans of a bright future, plans of peace, plans of prosperity. So Philippians 4, 6 through 8 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, whatsoever things are true, if there's any virtue in there, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Whenever I talk to somebody that has a problem with, say, pornography or things they've seen, I say, this is the verse you need to just hang your life on. Because when those thoughts and those images or those things rise up against you, you need to say, nuh-uh, what I'm going to think about is what's true, what's noble, what's lovely, what's pure. I'm not going in that direction. And I'm telling you, the second you say this, the enemy doesn't stick around at all. He's like, ooh, I can't stay around here. The word's being spoken. And he hates it and he can't stand it. We have to be anxious for nothing. We live in a world that's scary. We said it before, but we don't have to be anxious. We don't have to worry. We have to just praise him. We have to make our requests known. God, this is the issue I'm dealing with, and deal with it once and for all. Psalms 54, this is the verse you're going to come up with if this is you and you're battling in your mind. And the mind is a real battleground. A real battleground. Psalms 54, 4. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is, and this is a version I'm reading, the sustainer of my soul with those who uphold my life. So he's your helper. And the mind is something that is a continual issue, but he is the sustainer of our soul. We can have a godly mindset. We don't have to allow our mind to run away with us. And the enemy likes to do that because what he likes to do is cause doubt and unbelief to enter in. By sometimes what we see, you know, we think something, then we see it, and then we grab hold of it, and that's a fear. And we can't allow that to happen because our mind has to be full of things that are just and pure and holy and lovely and of a good report. So if you have one of your issues or you have a fear and your mind is constantly racing and telling you opposite of what the word of God is. See, that's how the devil is. If you're hearing negative, that's not God. The opposite's true. But you got to get your mind wrapped around it. You ever have like a project you need to do and you know you got to do it, but until you really wrap your mind around it, it never gets done. And then when you say, okay, I need to plan this out. I need to see how much it's going to cost. I got to count the cost. I got to look. What do I have to do? And then you get wrapped around it. Sometimes you're excited to do it. And then other times you're like, nah, I don't know if I want to do this. But you got to wrap your mind around it to do it. You know, if you want to get up early and exercise, you got to wrap your mind around that alarm going off and saying, I'm going to do it. If I'm going to eat right, you got to wrap your mind around and say, no, I'm going to do what's right and take care of my body. When thoughts come against you, you got to wrap your mind around the things that are of God, a good report, a pure, holy, a lovely things that are praiseworthy. Grab hold of them. Say, no, I'm going to wrap my mind around this and not what my mind is telling me is going to happen. Amen. So if that's you and you're battling in your mind and you battle in your mind and fear is usually what follows that battle. So you fight, you fight, you fight, and then fear comes right in with it. And then it's almost like when you have a little crack and a little hole in the foundation, and little by little, the elements start getting, and then all of a sudden it's a gush, and it just comes through and just pushes through. Then fear tries to come in, and anxiety and worry and stress. We got to deal with it and wrap our mind around the things of the Spirit and don't allow that to happen. So if that's you this morning, and you need help with your mind, that you have the mind of Christ, we all have the mind of Christ. We have to make sure that our mind is not conformed to this world, but transformed by the word of God. God will touch you this morning, but then it's time to start getting the word into your mind and allowing the word to control what your mind's doing and what it's thinking. Amen. So if that's you and you want prayer for your mind, or you're battling your mind and you know fear is trying to come in behind that, I just want you to come forward in Jesus' name. We're going to pray for that right now. If you're up here this morning and you have your Bible, I want you to read Philippians 4:8. And I want you to continue to read it, Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, read that. If you don't have a Bible, ushers or whoever's in the front row, get them a Bible. If they don't have one, this is what we're going to do right here. Is there anybody else that wants to come up for this? Because once that's it, that's it. Start reading it. Read it out loud to yourself. We're going to come and lay hands on you. And we're not going to let the mind even take 1 second to refute what God's doing. You're going to read the word, and then we are going to lay our hands on you, and that's going to be it right there. See, sometimes even when you pray, your mind's all over the place. Oh, you don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know where I've been. That's how the mind works. Sometimes it's hard to shut that out. Well, we're going to read this verse, read it over and over again. And when we come up, the power of God is going to hit you and just immediately wipe that clean. That your mind is going to immediately stop this racing and this issue when this fear that's coming in. We're going to plug this hole once and for all, but it's going to be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to give the devil one more second. Amen. So keep read that over, and when we come, just be ready to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Ready? Thank you, Jesus.
Bring my mind to peace, the storm surrounding me, let it break at your name, and still call my mind to sin, call the fear to sin everywhere. Bones to lay, call these lungs to see once again. I will praise and breathe. Call these bones to lay, call these lungs to sing once again. Hey. silence for you. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Breathe, call these bones to live. Call these lungs to sing once again. Call these bones to live. Call these lungs to sing once again.
Forever lifted high, and your name cannot be overcome.
you silence fear. Come on. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear.
This last one, church, praise God. The only thing's getting stronger, huh? Thank you, Jesus. The fear of the past, or the fear of being condemned. The past has no hold on us any longer, church. And we have to stop petting it. We have to stop going back to it. We have to stop blaming it. We have to stop thinking we're going to revert to it. That's a fear. You're not going to revert to it. It's already been paid for. You buy something from the store, you don't keep returning it, you use it. Why would you return it? You already paid for it. It's already yours. You don't want to give it back. You want to hold on to it. Psalms 34, 22. Says this, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Therefore, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We don't have to worry about being condemned. We don't have to worry about what happened in our past. Our past has been wiped clean. Stop going to it. Stop reverting to it. It's like an update that we don't like. We don't like the update, and so we revert it back to the old one. Oh, I want to go back to the old update. I'm just more comfortable with that. That's how we treat the past sometimes. We want to revert back to the old ways because it's comfortable to us. That's a fear that the enemy tries to use against you. Listen to what Psalms 107:2 says in the New Living Translation. Has the Lord redeemed you? Question mark. Then speak out and tell others he's redeemed you from your enemies. It's time for us to start speaking this out. The price has been paid. We don't have to still battle with it. If the past is trying to rear itself up, say, Lord, you've forgiven me. You've washed my slate clean. I'm not dealing with it anymore. I'm not going there anymore. I'm not allowed. We just prayed about the mind. Well, what does the mind always try to do? Go back to the past. The mind always tries to revert and get you to go backwards. And like I said before, sometimes it's not even sin that the church is dealing with. It's the devil causing us to spin our wheels or to give traction to words that we know aren't true. Because of natural symptoms or circumstances, or we see in the natural, that could be true. We give those words and those thoughts traction to dig in against us. We have to stop that. There's no past. There's no fear of the past. It's been wiped clean. There's no condemnation. So if that's you, and maybe you're dealing with the past trying to rear itself up, maybe it's relationships and people coming back, maybe it's circumstances and things you used to do, habits and things that maybe had control of you, and they always try to rear their ugly head, and it's a fear that you have. I don't want my children to go through this. I don't want to deal with this again. If that's a fear that's trying to rise up, by the power and the aid of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to deal with this anymore. That's what the Holy Spirit is there to help you do. So if that's you, Psalms 107:2, that's what you're coming up to read. I want you to come forward. Fear of the past, fear of that being condemned, fear that the Lord doesn't love you, or how could he forgive you again? The reason why Jesus hasn't come back is there's people that are not living right. There's people that have not heard the gospel. There's people that are not living the way God wants you to live according to the word of God. And he's not going to take a chance of you missing out on eternity with him. So if there's a fear of your past, it's time to deal with it once and for all. Amen.
Peace. bringing all the peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, it's still. Call the sea to still. Call the fear to still. Every wave, at your name. Bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding, let it break. At your name, and still. Call the sea to still. Call the fear to still. Every wave. At your name, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Call these bones to live. Call these lungs to sing. Once again, I will praise and breathe. Call these bones to live. Call these lungs to sing. Once again, I will praise Jesus, Jesus. Tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, silence fear. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
praise
your
you.
Name is alive, name. Forever lifted high. And your name cannot be overcome. Jesus. 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 You make the darkness tremble. Jesus. Jesus. You silence fear. Jesus.
Today. He's a high tower in the righteous. We run in and we're safe. Safe from harm, safe from fear, safe from shadows, safe from suggestions, safe from generational curses, safe from anything the enemy would try to throw. Enter into his name this morning. Come on, let's shout to God and worship today. Let's join in and praise the name of Jesus. That name is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Shall confess. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Come on, let's dance his name. Come on, let's shout his name. Come on, let's run his name today. Glory be to God. Come on, let's worship his name. People are getting a breakthrough because of the name of Jesus. We apply the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus right now. Yes, enter in, enter in.
Alive.
This is the last thing the Lord is speaking to us this morning, and this isn't going to be an on your own time. This is going to be a between you and God time. But one of the things the Holy Spirit needs to help us more than ever, church, is in our choices and decision making. And I wanted to share real quick, you don't have to turn your Bibles, you can stand there in the presence of God. In John 5:19, Jesus didn't do anything, didn't do a thing unless the Father told him to do it. We have got to stop doing things because everybody else is doing it. We have got to stop doing things because it's the way we used to do it. Don't do a thing, don't make a decision because you saw somebody else do it and it was successful. Only do what the Holy Spirit has told you to do. How do you think the warehouse was built in a recession? Because Pastor wanted to do it or because the Lord told him to do it? Because if he did it and he wanted to do it, it would still be dirt. And that's just an example in the natural. When you drive up, that was built because the Holy Spirit told him to build it. We didn't know why, we didn't know how, we didn't know what in the world we were doing. But he just said, do it. And look at what it's doing in the community. We've served over 150 agencies since it's been open. When God tells you to do something, do it. If he doesn't, don't. The other thing, in John 12, it talks about Jesus didn't say or confess anything unless his Father told him to. So it's the don't do unless God has told you, and the don't say unless God tells you to say it. And that's confessions over yourself, over other people. Keep your mouth shut if you don't have anything good to say. Keep your mouth shut if you don't like the way things are done in church or even on your job and you think you can do it better. Shut your mouth and just give it to the Lord. If the Lord opens the opportunity for your boss to come to you one day and say, how would you do this? Say, well, I'm glad you asked. But otherwise, keep your mouth shut. Because that doesn't do anything. It's so strife, and it makes us look like idiots as Christians because we can't keep our mouth shut. We're just like the world. And the same thing goes in the body of Christ. The same thing goes in your own family. If you have unsaved loved ones, stop saying things about them. Only say what the Word of God tells you to say. And within this, I want you to understand, in order for us to have the Holy Spirit help us, there's a thing that I don't think a lot of us do, and that's ask God to forgive us for the choices. See, we know we were wrong. We say, oh, yeah, I don't want to do that again. But did you really ask God to forgive you for the choice that you made? Did you really say, forgive me, God? I messed that up. I know you've helped me get through it, but I never really said sorry for doing that. Because we don't know what the problems we've caused by making these decisions, by saying these words with our mouth, what the damage has been done. But we know that when Christ forgives us, he just says, oh, okay, slate clean. But have we really asked for Christ to do that? To repent is to start clean. And the Holy Spirit, the only way that he can really paint the picture of our life the way he wants to is when our canvas is clean. And here's the best thing in the world. Our canvas can be cleaned 10 times a day, 100 times a day, 1,000 times a day. Our slate can be wiped clean as much as we need it to be wiped clean. But I feel like in the body of Christ, we're having cleaned it from some things that we know we shouldn't have done. We shouldn't have gone there. We shouldn't have participated in that. Look, we as a family, we don't go on vacation unless we ask the Holy Spirit. We don't buy things unless we ask the Holy Spirit. We don't watch things. We don't look at things. We say, should we be doing this? And when the Holy Spirit says no, it's off. It's no. It's don't go there. Well, they did it and they were successful. Or that looks fun and look at them. That stuff can't come into play, church. And we get caught up in that. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us in our choices and our decision-making. We need to make him a part of that. I want to read this scripture verse, and if you want to read it when you come forward, Acts 3:19 in the message says, now is the time to change your ways. Turn to face God so he can wipe away your sins and pour out showers of blessing and refreshing on you. So there's the cross. We know Jesus is an honor, but the cross symbolizes the price that he paid. Here's the altar of God that we can come to really say, God, it's time to change my ways. I'm sorry for making those choices. I'm sorry for making those decisions without seeking you. I'm sorry for letting my pride or what I wanted go before you and making my decisions, whatever it might be. And we're talking about natural, we're talking about spiritual, we're talking about words. God, forgive me. Forgive me for what I've said about other believers in the body of Christ here or somewhere else. Say, God, forgive me, wash me. Quote the scripture verse, Acts 3:19, so God can wipe it away when we turn our face to him. We're just going to sing quietly. The service is closed here, but some of us need to come to the altar and really say, God, forgive me. And don't just do the blanket, oh, God, forgive me. Say, God, forgive me for, because I did that. God, forgive me because I said that. God, forgive me because that mindset that I had before always tries to come back. Even though I've given it off to you, I've never really said, God, forgive me. I'm sorry for doing that. Sorry is an important thing to say out of your mouth sometimes, because when you say it, you see the reaction of somebody you're saying it to. See the reaction of your Savior when you say, sorry, Christ. Sorry, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I'm sorry for being disobedient to you. And watch how God is able to aid and assist you and to push out all that stuff and to just take your slate and wipe it clean. So now when God tells you to do something, you can see it like black and white, like, oh, there, it's right there. Instead of being cluttered by all the garbage that we haven't asked God to clean and wash away. So that's my prayer for you this morning as we close out service and we have our time at the altar. Some of us need to come and just say, God, forgive me, and say what it is. Don't do the Christianese, God, forgive me. Say it out, even though it may hurt. Even though we don't want to admit, yeah, we were wrong, but put the butt out. Say, God, forgive me. I don't want that to happen again. I don't want that to hold me back from all that you have for me. And make sure that you make it right with him. Amen. We love you. We appreciate you, but take some time and ask the Holy Spirit if your slate needs to be clean in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus is calling. Have the courage.
Blood of Jesus.